Hey, what's going on out there? Welcome to Talk About That, the podcast. I'm your host, John Driver, here with my co-hosts, the colorful Johnny W.
Oh, yeah.
And the lovely Dana Allen.
Lovely.
Why am I colorful and he's lovely?
Well, Johnny, if our listeners could see right now, then you would understand why. Yeah. Hey, it's Christmas time, guys. It's Christmas time in the city.
It's Christmas time in the city. What is your least favorite Christmas song?
Mine?
Pa-rum-pa-pum-pum.
Yes, this is not right. A great one. Although I still accept it because it's classic.
Yeah, but see, what is defined as classic exactly?
Old.
Well, I appreciate such a terse and direct answer.
But there are some
like you're
ones.
On your way to being a classic, John.
There are some old ones that aren't like classic Christmas songs. So like that All I Want for Christmas is My Two Front Teeth. Yeah. I wouldn't consider that a classic just because it's not as popular, I guess.
Did that one come from like a commercial? What is that?
I have no idea.
I don't know.
But what would it be a commercial for? I just for some reason, I remember thinking it was like a Crest commercial or something.
No idea.
Would you do a toothpaste commercial about your teeth falling out?
Well, there's other teeth. They just missing the two. Yeah, it's true.
I suppose it's not the
cavity
toothpaste.
Creeps got her.
It's not the toothpaste's fault if a child's tooth falls out. But if an adult's singing that song, there's a problem. Yeah. You know, like change your habits. No, I don't like Prum-pa-pum-pum because...
That's not what it's called.
I know.
It's called all of drummer onomatopoeias.
The little drummer boy.
You said it's called onomatopoeia.
Drum.
No, you don't like that song because of the onomatopoeias. That's the reason I don't like it.
Really?
Yeah, it's just weird.
I don't...
It's like Batman. Yeah, it's like the old... Remember the 70s, 60s Batman?
Bam! Pow!
I have no gift to bring, Biff Bam Pow. It's very onomatopoeia.
You know, for me, it's a ridiculous premise. That's why. It's like, okay... Number one.
Yeah.
It's like mixing all these modern things.
Yeah, it is.
And it's like, why is there a child with a drum coming in?
You don't think there would have been drums in the Middle East?
I'm not saying that.
Not a marching band drum.
What, was there a drum?
Like the one he plays in the movie.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. I get.
Yeah, why does it do that? I've never really thought about the song, but yeah.
And the fact that the newborn baby smiles at you, that can't happen.
Yeah, that's just,
you know what I'm saying?
Strange.
You know what I don't like, in a way, in a manger, when it says, the cattle are lowing, the poor baby wakes, but little Lord Jesus, no crying he makes. The idea that he's Jesus, so he didn't cry. I think they'd have been alarmed.
Yeah.
If your baby doesn't cry,
definitely.
That's bad.
Right.
The whole like point this idea was that we make him so baby, you know, like he was all man too. So it's like this idea that he was 100% person, 100% God. If we really believe that, then this idea that like, but he never pooped, never, not once, not my Lord. That's so dumb. That's a really dumb belief. He didn't cry. He didn't poop. It's dumb.
Yeah, you know, that first book I ever wrote was Shriveled Heart, where I basically told the story of Jesus, and that what was really hit me is when you try to, it was a novel based off of these things, when Jesus is sitting around with his disciples, I wanted him to burp, I wanted him to sneeze, I wanted him to laugh, you know, like, and if that sounds almost irreverent to you, then I think you're missing the real miracle of the incarnation. I mean, that he was a dude, you know.
God created us.
We got here off of
And guys, that's
boy.
It. Thank you. Thank you for listening today.
Sorry, our podcast is sacrilegious.
Johnny, what's your least favorite
Christmas song? You know, I hate the one where it just repeats, where it goes, Happy Holidays.
Oh, I love that one.
And it goes into like a weird muted trumpet. But
I like the one
that Curry hates the most is, It's the most
wonderful time of the year. You guys hate happy things, huh?
There's a lot of big moments in it.
I love it.
You know what else I hate? I hate the one where all the wrong inanimate or animal objects are talking. Said the little lamb to the shepherd. Guys, no, that didn't happen.
Well, if you see the movie Star, we talked about that. Maybe that's where that came from. They're like, maybe these lambs can talk.
So
you're saying you prefer The Silence of the Lambs? Snap. That's a different movie. Not a Christmas movie. Don't watch that.
No, it's not at all.
It's not festive at all. Do you think Die Hard's a Christmas movie, by the way?
No,
people fight over that?
I don't.
Because Christmas movies have to be about Christmas. It's fun to watch it in an ironic way. Ooh, Christmas movie. Because it's set at Christmas, but it's not about Christmas. It's about...
Yeah, unless you're like shooting guys with machine guns and dropping F-bombs, you kind of come out of the...
You know, Emily doesn't accept the Home Alone movies as Christmas movies.
No.
What? Seriously?
No.
It's all about Christmas.
It's about them taking a trip on Christmas, but it's
like,
not
she
like...
She finds Kevin in Home Alone 2, like, at the big tree.
Yeah. Like it's when like, she comes home,
really,
it's Christmas morning.
Based around Christmas, for sure.
If you don't count that Christmas as magic, a Christmas movie, then you can't count Christmas Vacation as a Christmas movie because.
And like somehow they have Christmas presents under their tree at the end of Home Alone 2, even
well,
though
Christmas
a hotel.
Vacation has Christmas in the title, and they're set. He's behind the tree, setting it up. They go sledding. There's a lot of Christmassy things happen.
Didn't so Home Alone the original logo have like Christmas lights on the letters or
perhaps,
something?
Perhaps.
But that definitely is a Christmas movie. You're okay. Wrong.
I don't like Home Alone. Can I say that? I don't
really.
I don't like it very much.
Did you know that they made another Home Alone? Sadie and I watched
they made
it
a
last
lot of Home
night.
Alones.
But they made one that was from 2012.
Okay.
I forget what it was called.
Three? Was it three?
No, I never. It had a whole other name, and it was like it was Home Alone something. It was like, it was like the eighth spinoff.
Dane wants a reboot with the original cast, and I said, wait a few years, rest Home Alone. Nursing Home Alone. Yeah. Now you got yourself a.
You know, Macaulay Culkin's super weird now. And he did like this kind of weird, trippy spinoff of Home Alone now that he's like an adult.
Yeah.
Have you seen that?
I think so.
It's weird. It's really dark.
Yeah, he's out there. He's been through
it's
some
stuff. Like on YouTube or something?
Yeah, it's YouTube or Facebook or something.
Child stars, they go through some stuff. Like, I sympathize.
For sure. How I know, I guess. Can
you imagine peaking when you're 7 years old?
I can. It happened.
Really?
Yeah,
that's interesting.
It's all been downhill.
And it wasn't anything that remarkable happened. It's just that the rest of your life has been that much more
like I crested a small hill. I wouldn't call it a peak. It was like a...
Look who stacked those blocks. And it's been downhill ever since.
I really haven't grown in height since 7th grade.
Really?
But anyway, yes, I do think it takes a toll on child stars.
Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah, it's kind of sad.
I sympathize. When I see somebody who kind of... Like when you watch the Stranger Things kids and you go, I hope that they turn out normal.
I won't be able to handle it if Millie Bobby Brown
isn't she
turns
the coolest?
Crazy. Yeah,
do you
I
watch
really
Stranger
do
Things, John?
Cool.
I do not. I'm considering it.
You need to.
You haven't seen any of it?
But I just finished the
well,
Crown.
Well, he's thinking
two,
about
so,
can he watch it with Sadie? Probably right.
No.
Oh, okay,
dude.
No, I put Sadie
really
to
good.
Bed and then I watch things.
Stranger I don't want to like, hype it up for you, but it's really good.
Is it good? It looks.
It's
good
really
to me.
Enjoyable. Guys. Like it's really innocent.
It's like fun. I would call it. I always refer to it as if you're a group in the 80s.
It's a Goonies.
It's a nostalgia tornado. It's unbelievable. The feelings that it will bring up in you from growing up.
Does it have
that.
Goonie-esque?
It's got Goonies, a little Goonies. It's got a little Goonies, a little Stand By Me, a little E.T.
Nice.
Little E.T.
It's like Stand By Me-T. That's how I...
Hey, I tell you that my child is mastering the art of wordplay early. She's making up... She always wants to tell
kind of
you...
impressive.
She always wants to tell you jokes, sorry, but the other one that she goes, what do you call an animal that once served in the military?
What?
A peterin.
That's pretty good. That's not bad. Good. Okay, so I have people. This is a social media thing. This reminded me of it because of wordplay. Last night, and I don't do this thing where I scroll and like look at my, because I have a lot of friends on Facebook that I don't really know, you know, like a lot of us do. But you go, this is some pastor somewhere, I guess, that I know, and I don't want to make fun of the guy, but I got to make fun of this guy. I'm not going to say who it is, but this is his text. It was in one of those ones where you put the big
text
and it's a background. No, it's a post, but it's on the weird blue background where you have where it stands out really big on your statuses, you know?
How do you do that?
I don't know.
Okay.
Anyway, here's what it says. Does anyone, I don't want to say where it says, does anyone in the, wherever he's from, have a Roomba or know someone that has one that I could borrow for an upcoming message? John. He wants to borrow
a Roomba,
a robotic vacuum cleaner.
I don't know. It might be
for
cool.
His Christmas message.
Was it a Christmas message?
I would think it's for an upcoming message.
Well, that could be next year. Maybe he plans.
You don't think it's going to be like, let every heart prepare him Roomba? Something's going on. There's a bad pun. There's a bad pun in the future for this guy.
Hey, did you see what Nick Maples was a kid we had in Knoxville? Did you see what he posted the day? He said, what did he say? This thought just suddenly hit me. I've never had an epiphany.
Oh, right.
It was very funny. Well done, Nick. If you're out there listening, well done.
Oh, wow. Yeah, Nick's awesome. Yeah. What else is happening? Oh, you got to see Stranger Things, though. And I'm telling you,
definitely.
The child star thing, when you watch kid actors, you can see them acting, you know, even if they're good. Like even I think Macaulay Culkin, you can see him acting. These kids in Stranger Things, they're so good that you're just like,
yeah, they're pretty good.
What
pretty
is
good.
Happening? And you just want to hug all of them. I love the
it's
kids.
It's just a really fun cast, I feel like.
You'll love it.
Is it Netflix?
So, yeah.
Netflix.
It's Netflix original.
And it's two seasons now, so.
Yeah. I think just Millie is such an interesting character. Eleven is such an interesting character in the show. She's
so great.
And on top of that, she's just really cool outside of that. And she's a kid.
Yeah, and she's awesome really on Twitter. She's so fun on Twitter and so positive. And I think she has somebody that helps run her account, like her older brother runs her account. But she's just cool, and I don't know. But like, you hope for those kids, like, please don't get addicted to drugs. I'm begging you.
I think the question is, can a kid survive?
Right.
Can a kid in developmental, you know, formative moments, what does it do to you?
Well, I don't remember, like, a good instance with a child star.
Well, there's been some that they transition. I'm at a loss, but sure. Yeah, you always think of the bad ones.
I would love to know that. I just can't think of
Hold
any.
Hold on. Stand by.
Okay, Howard. Ron Howard seemed to do.
Well, yeah, but he didn't get into acting. He got into directing.
Who's Ron Howard?
Ron Howard was director. He was...
And then he was in Happy Days.
Yeah, he was an actor all the way. He was an actor. And then he got in behind the camera.
Then he became one of the most famous directors, producers of all time.
But he's well-balanced, and he's not a weirdo. Right.
Besides Opie.
There's a lot.
But again, that's a different age of child actor. You know?
True.
Like, not age. I mean, a different era.
Anakin Skywalker. Super weirdo now.
Oh, you mean the actor?
The kid who did the Phantom Menace.
I was like, yeah, he became Darth Vader, guys.
Dang it, I should have thought of that while I was saying
You're right, it ruined him.
Yeah, man, that guy really turned to the dark side.
Who is that guy?
I don't know, but yeah, he...
Did he... Was he anything else after that?
No.
There's a documentary about the making of the Phantom Menace... And Lucas chose that kid, even though another guy had screen tested.
Wait,
really
was
well.
It the young Anakin you're talking
about?
Yeah,
the young
Anakin. Okay.
This other kid had screen tested really well, and they were like, "Well, this guy's got it." All the casting directors were like, "Well, this guy's got it." And then Lucas came and was like, "No, him," and chose the other one who came off kind of petulant, and nobody really. Everybody remembers him from the Phantom Menace as being like a whiny, bratty version of.
It's working.
But yeah, he didn't end well. Now, Edward Furlong, who was the Terminator 2 kid, he was discovered in an arcade, like between shoots, I think I read. Huh. Like, they were like, no, it's not. We don't know who we have. And then they like saw him like talking trash at a video arcade. And they were like, this guy.
Didn't half the movie happen in a video arcade? That's where they come upon him in the movie.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, the Olsen twins, aren't they like big...
it's like they're big models.
They're entrepreneurs.
They own like a big...
They're billionaires. They're billionaires.
They own like a fashion line or a whole line of lines.
Well, they have the whole video thing too where they do all these little movies that are straight to DVD movies that are about them.
But you know, they won't do Fuller House.
No.
So they won't come back, you know, and do that.
But I can see why.
They wanted to stay out of the public eye and just spend their billions, I think. Which I understand,
I
guys.
Why that is.
Who among us?
We always
Hollywood
think,
wrecked them.
Well, we always think like, dude, you have all this money. Why can't you figure it out? Like, we just, even if we know in our mind and in our heart that like money is not a solve, we can't help but like hold other people to a higher standard. We talked about this with the athletes. Like, come on, you get paid millions of dollars and you can't do what I want. You can't respect the flag, whatever. And so it's like, okay. They can't have your opinion doesn't matter because you're supposed to just shut up and go cash your check and shut up.
Right.
And so we all have that weird thing of like the money, if I had that kind of money, I'd fall in line. I'd do whatever. You know, it's like not necessarily.
Yeah. The American dream makes you think that think about it. That's the 19th century American idealism that causes you to think that if we all had this. Right. And everybody would be happy. You know, that's the general.
Well, and they pitch certain things. Like, I was reading this thing about this article about the housing burst in the 80s in the 80s. And then going on to where rent rates were in the 25% to get a home loan. And then you had it got crazy low. And then 2008 when it all went to crap again.
Yeah.
And like what caused it. And they talked about how. In the 80s, they started pitching home ownership as the American dream. Like, it's tied into the American dream. Like, you need to work for yourself or be financially independent, and you need your own home because you're throwing money away if you just rent. Like, I've heard that so many times. You're just throwing money away if you rent. And then, like, the first time their water heater breaks, they're like, there's no landlord to fix this. Now I'm throwing money away on a water heater. And I get that it is better to own a home for me because I want to stay put. But what happened is all these people that bought homes that they really shouldn't have, and then they have like maybe a transient kind of job, like maybe they're a nurse or maybe they're in the tech industry. And then the jobs moved to Seattle, and then you're stuck in Nashville because you bought a home here.
Right.
And so all these people were stuck in these homes they couldn't afford, and they couldn't leave. Their job had moved wherever. And so you had all these people trapped, and it was because of that mindset. We trapped people in something they didn't necessarily need.
Yeah. You know, interestingly enough, historically, and you probably know this, Johnny, I don't know if the younger generation would know this. So you know the phrase life, liberty, and the pursuit of what?
Happiness.
So you know originally what that phrase was. It comes from Thomas Paine. So Thomas Jefferson wrote that in the Declaration of Independence, but it comes from Thomas Paine, who was a great Enlightenment thinker. And actually the original statement was life, liberty, and pursuit of?
Property.
Property. Ah. So literally in the American idealism, we took and we interchanged property for happiness.
We are
which
conflating
goes back
property
to,
with happiness.
That's kind of crazy, dude.
Mm-hmm. And it's even weirder when you start thinking about we counted people as property back then.
Wow.
So then it really blows your mind. You're like, okay. So we kind of this is 3/5 of a human, and he can be my property.
Yeah.
And then
that's
whoever has the most of those is like he's the happy slave owner. It's like, what a weird culture. What a weird history.
Yeah,
it is.
That we've got to reconcile.
And I think that's part of the deal. You have so many of those seeds at the epicenter of who we are.
Yeah.
It's causing us. I have a lot of theory about seeds, you know, as you know, that there are things people always say in relationships or in conflict, well, I'm just going to let that go. And they think they're just burying it. But I believe there's no such thing as burying things. I think everything you think you're burying, you're actually planting. And that things grow somewhere in unseen places underground. And I think that that's exactly what has occurred with, you know, what we're dealing with now with all the race issues and other things today. Is there's a whole lot of stuff that we wanted to act like in the middle of the 20th century because there were proclaimed equality or the proclaimed, hey, this is fine now. We no longer have racism in our country, as if you can just suddenly act like that's all buried. Guys, that stuff's been planted for 400 years. Yeah. And so, but back to the idea of property and to the idea of materialism somehow bringing happiness, I think it's so embedded into the American thought process that even those of us who feel like we've risen above it, it's almost an impossibility, I think, to not have that subconscious thought process that if I had $1 million right now, I would feel differently about life. That if I ever, I think something... I have this idea that even if you get everything you've always wanted, you will still be whom you always have been.
Yeah.
And there's that thought. If I got what I always wanted, then I'll be somebody different. But no, getting what you always wanted won't change who you've always been.
If anything, it amplifies it. Mm-hmm. I mean, as somebody who I've had a little bit of success, I mean, I'm still way under the radar in my career. And so it's like, I like where I am because to me, I make a living and I'm not famous enough yet to where I can still make a lot of mistakes and get better.
Yeah.
So I can do, for instance, if I have a really, really bad night, it's not going to be, nobody's going to know about it except those people. Sometimes I'll say it if I'm in a room and if it's like 50 people, I'm like, well, not a lot of people showed up. I was like, well, this is going to be great because you guys ain't even enough people to start a rumor. You know, it's like there's a freedom in anonymity.
Yeah.
But I also make a living at what I do, which is a very cool thing. But like, I've already seen it mess with my identity some, and it amplifies.
How so?
Selfishness, like you think, oh, well, if I had this, then I would blah, blah, blah. But then you go, oh, no, I'm a selfish person because I have this, and now it's like I don't. I mean, I give quite a bit, but it's like there's you just start thinking about yourself as – I'm into self-preservation, or I can justify things. Well, I got to take this.
Yeah.
This is not a gig that I necessarily know I'm going to do well at, or this person thinks they want to throw this money at me, but this is not going to be, but I need this because I have to. It's almost like you build a lifestyle based on what you're making, and then the lifestyle kind of owns you, and you have to keep taking things that – taking work to justify the life, to keep that going, which I never really wanted to do. And so I'm trying to like, okay, how do I slow roll this more?
Yeah.
like, oh, okay, well, I can afford this house, so I should get this house. Now, I didn't go buy a house that's like, well, you can, you know, when you first get approved for a loan, like, you can buy this much house, and you go, like, to the dollar. When you first, like, you go find that house.
Yeah.
Because why would you not want the biggest house? You can barely make this payment. That's, again, that's that homeownership dream that we all bought into. Rather than be like, this is more prudent. We don't need that much space. So we were kind of smart about that. But there are things where I look at my life and I go, am I, what am I becoming? I think we're always becoming something.
Yeah.
And we never stop becoming. And so your success amplifies it. Failure, I think, is way easier because everybody fails and everybody can relate to failure. Dude, if you get comics in a room, if you get comedians in a room, they won't talk about, dude, I freaking did Carnegie Hall. It was amazing. They'll tell you the funniest bomb stories.
Yeah, how they bombed, yeah.
And it's amazing. It's amazing, and that's the stuff that people gravitate to. There was a story I was doing. I was opening for Kathleen Madigan, and she was telling a story about another comedian who's pretty famous. Her name's Tig Notaro, and she's pretty well-known in alternative comedy circles. She was doing a show, and Madigan was with her just hanging out in Ireland, and they were at this pub. Nobody knows who Tig Notaro is in Ireland, and yet she was going up. They brought her in. She goes up, and she is bombing. She's a very slow roll. Like, you have to get her to get her. She's eating it so bad. And Madigan's in the back laughing because you laugh. When you know a comedian is funny and they're eating it, there's nothing funnier to watch that. If somebody's terrible, you're like, oh, this is awful. But if somebody's funny and you've seen those jokes kill and you're watching them eat it, it's amazing. So she's eating it and Madigan's watching. And this guy stood up in the middle of the pub with his pint in his hand. And he said, you're ugly and you're not funny. And I won't have it. And he took a big drink of his pint, slammed it down, and he walked out. That is the most brutal heckle ever. I won't have it. But that's the stuff. Like, failure is so familiar.
Yeah.
In success, the little tiny bit that I've had of it, it will reveal things about you that are ugly. And it's fascinating.
Isn't it so funny how, like, early on in your career, early on in whatever you're doing, you look ahead at maybe somebody else, somebody bigger in your profession. You're like, well, if I only had his problems.
Yeah.
If I, like, my problems seem really bad right now, but if I got there, then nothing would be hard ever again.
Right.
And that's how we think. And, you know, as you progress and you hopefully start climbing the ladder and you just realize that, like, no, all problems are kind of a big deal.
Yeah, some stuff you don't even think about. Like, I talked to a comedian yesterday who's very successful. I won't name him, but, like, he's had Comedy Central specials. He's a friend of mine. And he was telling me about every time he goes and does a club, he feels like there's five or six people that want something from him.
Yeah.
Come do my podcast. Come do this. Can you do a free show here? Can you blah, blah, blah. And can I get time on the show? Because they're using him to get into a room. Because that's a big thing with comics is, like, get me into this by leveraging your platform.
Right.
And it's very transparent. But I think they think I don't know what they're doing.
Right.
And he goes, and it's turned him into, like, not paranoid, but it's made him more aware of it to a fault. Like, he's just like, I don't want to be put in this position. And it's like, and I go, I hadn't thought of that. I hadn't thought of, like, when you get to a certain level, like, everybody wants a piece of you.
Yeah.
I see it with Tim Hawkins some, but, like, he just seems to deflect it in such a nice, humble way, and I just don't ever – I'm sure it happens, but his brother kind of is his bulldog too. His brother says no for him a lot, you know, so he doesn't ever – it doesn't ever cross his desk sometimes. But it does take a piece of you, and you have to keep saying no to people, no, 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 no.
Yeah.
And they don't understand. And then they walk away, and they don't think, like, well, that seems reasonable. Like, I get it. They just think, what a jerk.
Yeah.
That's their interchange. So he carries that around. It's a weird thing.
I'm actually kind of sensitive to that whole thing. Because, I mean, I don't know, like, crazy celebrities or anything like that. But, like, the few people that I like, look up to, I am very careful as to not make them think that I need something from them.
Yeah.
Because, truth be told, like, what's a tweet gonna do? Like, what could they do to, like, elevate me really? And I don't know. I just don't want to. I don't ever want somebody to think that, like, I'm only friends with them because I need something from them.
Yeah, that's a big deal, man. And I've had to learn that too. There's things I think early on, you just call it hustle, and you'd be like, doesn't hurt to ask. It hurts. Sometimes it hurts.
Absolutely hurts.
Sometimes it hurts to ask.
Because and it damages that person. Your relationship at the root of it.
Well, it hurts that person too because they have to then – you're making them feel weird if they don't – like, let them give. Now, there's a time and a place for, like, putting yourself in the right position to where you're in the room when they're looking for people. It's the reason people move to Nashville. Mm-hmm. I could live in Knoxville and do X, or you could live in Knoxville and do X with your music career, or you could live in Nashville where things are happening.
Right.
You're more likely to be in that room when they go, mm-hmm. where's that?
Here's that, makes, yeah.
Yeah, here's that new track or whatever. There's something like that of being around, but man, this idea that I got to kick down every door and abuse every relationship to get where I want to be. It's counterproductive.
Well, and it's the way that we're told that you have to do it.
Yeah.
And it feels very counterintuitive not to pursue it that way and come into that place of wisdom. Because, man, you live in Nashville long enough. Oh, Johnny, you and I were in a band for years, and Dane, you're in a band. Remember every show we ever went to with every band we ever liked? It was always about us.
Right.
We would go try to find them and hand them a CD. And that was, you're hustling and trying to get. And by the way, that did nothing.
Yeah.
Generally, zero. Artists, what were they going to do? They would even tell us sometimes, you meet somebody, they'd be like, we really, handing us this does nothing. Like, we don't really. And just coming to that place of going, everything in life is not about an opportunity for me. And that's when you're creative, I think, especially. Or you're a creative who has an industry. If your creativity has an industry, some creativity doesn't. And I think it's probably a gift because you're not expecting a living or advancement. Yeah. But when your creativity or your creative, genre has an industry, mm-hmm. I mean, it's a very difficult, we talked about that before. So, I wrote 10 books before I ever had any sort of relationship with any sort of publisher.
Yeah.
And writing those 10 was because I liked it.
Yeah.
It's because I liked it.
Right.
And I really prefer to have it. It's not that. But when there's a deadline and there's payment on the line, you're like, oh crap, I have to actually do this now. Like there's no, and then you hope you like it.
And it has the potential to suck the fun out of what you're passionate about.
And then, sometimes you're writing a project that's not that fun. And you're like, I never would have done this if
I
wasn't.
Can you name those projects, John?
In order alphabetically, they are. but even something that you like is going to have moments that are not fun in it. But you're tied to it. And like you said, you get used to this, like, there's an expectation. I've already told my wife, this is what we needed for our budget.
Yeah.
This is what we've now planned. And then you start having kids.
Well, that's what most people do. We made a little more money and you raise your lifestyle to match that. So then you go, it's still, now we just have a couple of nicer devices.
Right.
Yeah. Louis C.K. said that. He said, I don't think people are happy. I think they're sort of satisfied with their products and then they die. That's really dark and really true.
Well,
I'm sort of happy with my iPhone. It won't quite. And then they die one day.
You have that whole minimalistic movement. And I know it's still out there, but the small house or little house.
I'm a minimalist. I'm a minimalist in that I don't watch those shows.
Okay, I think the shows are really cool.
I've eliminated those shows from my life.
Emily desperately wants us to just sell everything and get a tiny house. Not go off the grid. Get a tiny house. Like in 300, some field.
300 square
feet. I want to see a tiny house with a big dude in it. Tiny house, big people. That's a show that needs to happen. Like a big 6'8" dude who's married to like a 5'2" person. And she's like, he's like, so he's constantly just got this huge knots on his head. He's got gauze, just a full head of gauze. That's amazing.
There is freedom in simplicity. There's no doubt.
Our
friend Andrew. Guy, he would love it. Like that's his thing. He wants the simple.
No, he would not love a tiny house.
But he wants it to be gadgety and simple. No, like he still wants.
He would love to have a tiny house, like apart from his main house
that he visits.
Yes, which I would be cool with too.
That takes up into the mountains,
like
when
a vacation home, maybe for sure.
Yeah,
but like no, if you think you want a tiny house, chances are you really don't.
Well, it's kind of like when you go on vacation, like. To the beach and you get a condo and it's small and you're like, oh, this is great.
Yeah, but you don't realize all your stuff's not in it.
Right, and about day five, you're like, well, we only brought this one suitcase of clothes. What if I needed more?
And there's zero walls. Like, you don't think about that. You need space. Like, I for real need space. I need so many walls between me and Emily sometimes.
Wow, that's
like,
beautiful.
You just need privacy. You need space, even if you don't think so.
Right. So you know, you're a loud farter.
Do you think
I get
she's going to listen
yeah,
to this?
That's true.
You know, we were at a wedding.
No, she doesn't. She doesn't listen.
She thinks it's.
She told me she hates you.
I need so many walls between me and my wife.
Sometimes, dude. Sometimes.
You know what? I hear you. I feel you. Well, they talk about that with building homes, speaking of which, because like Wesley, my realtor, he was talking about that, and my friend, not just my realtor.
Oh, wow.
Wow. Now he's listening.
He does listen.
But he's a realtor, and I'm just, he always is in on the building process when they're building a home or whatever. And he was talking about like you always look at the trends of where homes are going. And then is it granite countertops now or is it Corian? Is it whatever? But like what's happening now is open floor. Everybody wanted open floor plan. And now we realize like, oh, we need walls. I can see. You can see the pile of dirty dishes from the couch and it stresses you out. So like people are starting to build more close to our floor plans now because they're like, oh, what if my mother-in-law comes to live with me? And this open floor plan is going to drive me crazy.
Yeah. Dane, I think we should write a pop song, like one of those breakup songs about needing more walls between
more walls.
Us. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. We could write
start.
A, huh?
It's a good song.
Well, I don't think it's a breakup song. I think it's a this is so we don't break up song.
It's a good country song plot, maybe.
Well, in the country song, it would be we need more walls because I've punched holes in all of these.
Speaking of country and songwriting, did you guys watch The Voice?
Oh, yeah.
Yes, of course. Yeah, our own former youth group kid, Chloe Kohansky, the big winner.
Yeah, Chloe.
Beautiful.
Chloe was in youth group here back in the day, and very, very nice young lady. I'm very proud of her and excited for her. But
yeah, man, what a crazy opportunity! And look, Nashville's representing. Didn't last year's winner? He was from Knoxville, Chris Blue.
Uh huh.
Now you got a Nashville kid. I'm telling you, this is.
They should give us a name.
They really should call us. What would you think? What they would call
a
us?
Music City.
Speaking of which. We got the soccer team now, right? Is everybody excited? No?
I'm excited.
I think I'm going to get into soccer now. And people are like kicking around names on Twitter.
They're kicking around names, are they really?
Yeah. So somebody, I can't remember who it was like a country music guy, and he goes, I'm calling it right now, Nashville Hot Chickens. That's the team name. I was like, that's amazing. But you'd have to call it like Pollos and Fuegos or something like that because it's more of a Spanish sport. It'd be great.
Pollos and Fuegos. I don't know if
chicken's on fire, John.
I know. Me pollos en fuego. You know, I used to really kind of dog soccer. You can't do that anymore. It's very offensive.
No.
I'm not doing that now.
I watched the World Cup and I got into it.
People I care
don't like soccer.
People I care about love soccer, and they're like,
"Well, and they act like you're an idiot if you don't like it. Like, oh, you probably won.
Americans don't want to come with the rest of the world's.
I guess you like CTE. No, I don't want CTE. I'm just saying.
And I understand that football is not for everybody. Yeah. You know, and basketball is certainly not for everybody. But I love basketball. It's my favorite game.
Here's the deal about soccer. Soccer literally is for everybody, though. Like, that's the most international
sport. I know, and I get
sport.
That. But I don't live
but
internationally.
That's the thing.
I live in Nashville.
We're so bad. We have this population, and we're so bad. We have 300-something million people, and we can't field a good soccer team. Isn't that fascinating to you?
Yeah.
Well, I think
I do
fine
like
if
soccer.
You don't like soccer.
These countries with, like, 18 million people are beating us.
I think maybe people who say they don't like soccer really just haven't given it a shot because they're like, "Oh, soccer's dumb, soccer's lame. There's no contact."
It
like,
is a
that's
lot
all these
of
preconceived
no,
notions
no, no. I've come to respect soccer now.
Yes,
and I've watched. You know, we have friends whose kids play and are college players and everything else. No, I'm really impressed with what they do. I think the problem, and this is the argument I always make about soccer, and I guess it's already been disproven in my life because I actually enjoyed watching the Preds last year, and I had the same arguments for hockey because they're similar games.
Yeah.
But for me, an American mindset of sports is about excessive scoring.
Yeah, a lot of scoring.
And that everything you do leads to scoring. The thing about soccer that I'll talk to people who watch this great soccer game that ended in a 0-0 tie, and I'm like, how could it have been a great game? Number one, if you could tie, there's no clear winner. And two, like, oh, it's just amazing play. But there was no relevance to the outcome of the game from that amazing play.
I think there's in soccer, maybe there's a little bit more focus on finesse and detail and style and how you do things as opposed to what you actually did, like as far as the end
goal. And in that respect, I think I'm wrong because it actually does celebrate the athleticism more than it does
outcome. And America does this across the board. We do it in movies too. Like we need like big blockbuster films where there's a bunch of explosions to be entertained.
And but I think everybody likes that. Like blockbuster films do well everywhere though. Like everybody wants big explosions.
But just imagine in football, it happens all the time. This guy has this amazing 80-yard run.
Right.
And then player on the next play, another guy fumbles the ball and he didn't score. You always go, well, that was a wasted play.
Yeah.
Like, because he advanced the ball to the 1 yard line and somebody fumbled.
Whereas in soccer, what you're doing, in football too, but you're seeing what the defense did on that play so that now when you come back down the field, you notice this guy's cheating to the right or whatever. There's all that weird mindset that goes into it. To me, what bothers me about soccer and hockey is it feels like there's a lot of goals off of like chaos.
Yes.
And so you just go, it's almost like when you play pool with somebody and they hit the balls and they just go everywhere and a bunch of balls go in the wrong pocket that they didn't call and they go, I win. And you go, you didn't win. There's some of that in hockey where it's just like people just swinging and wildly and then the puck goes in the thing like, I'm a great hockey player. Are you? Because it went off your skate.
Well, every once in a while I watch a guy come down and he'll like, you know, put the puck backwards between his legs around two, three guys.
Really
that's amazing when it happens.
Hockey's won me over. I went to a game live, and that's the thing. You got to go see hockey.
Go Preds
live.
Game?
Yeah. You got to go see it live.
Preds are amazing. For real. The hockey, when my family first moved to like the Nashville area, my parents really got me into hockey. And I'm not like an avid follower or anything, but when we went to the game and you have the big light show and it's cold and like there's definitely like an atmosphere in there that
you love the cold.
Can't shake. It's true.
No, and I do. I we didn't watch all the games, but certainly when we went to the finals last year, I mean, that was like, and my wife and I both, I mean, we enjoyed that. Remember that time I took the kids, Dane, when you were young, to that, it was one of our retreats, I took y'all to a Preds game, and I bought these tickets. Did you go, Johnny?
I don't think so.
And I bought these tickets, and they were great tickets, and I got the kids there early, and we went into the arena, and they were literally, we were sitting at the top with our backs against the very top wall there was, and we were the first ones there. So we were filling this little section at the very top of an empty arena. It was like the weirdest.
Sad.
It's like, I think I can see. You talk about not seeing the
puck. Did you get the tickets for free or something?
they were like, I don't know, $5 a piece or something. Yeah. You know, it was like, oh, wow, that did not work
best
out.
Best youth pastor ever.
It's still fun.
Sporting events with a large group of kids are tough. Anyway, remember when we went? There was some trip we went on, and we were in Miami for a day. It was a missions trip. We were in Miami for an extra day. And we went to a Tampa Bay Rays game.
How did we go to a Tampa?
Maybe it was Miami Marlins, but I think it was Tampa Bay Rays.
I wouldn't on that trip.
No, it was certainly in Miami. It was a his house trip.
Oh,
maybe it was the Marlins then. It was Florida Marlins. We were still a Florida Marlins.
Yeah.
So we go there, and we're like, oh, this will be great. We got $5
tickets.
Oh, they
hated it.
Well, it was so hot.
It was 110
or
whatever.
Yeah. Or June or whatever in Florida. And I kept going under the tunnel. I kept getting those lemon freezy ice things. I think I had 12 of those.
You know what? That was the Miami trip that I remember. So we used to go down, for our listeners, we used to go down and work at a children's home. So kids who are in the system in the Miami area, and they would live. It was an old like 1960s thing that this 501c3 had bought. And it had just like hundreds of buildings, and it was this huge complex. Yes. It was great. And you'd work, and we basically ran this camp for the kids. And we went, I don't know, 4 or 5 times. But that particular year you're talking about, it was so brutally hot. And in the main room where we meet with the kids, the AC was broken. And I remember that trip, every night the whole team would get – but we actually stayed in a hotel. Well, some years we stayed in one of the buildings.
Yeah.
And we were great those years. This year we stayed in a hotel, so you'd think it was better. And we would absolutely collapse. Like everybody would go to bed at like 7 o'clock. Like there's something about that heat that you just couldn't, you know. I also remember we went to eat at they would go and I got I got with some kids and they had a Payway down there, which Payway is one of my favorite restaurants. And I convinced these kids for some reason we ate Payway. I think 6 nights in a row.
Payway every night.
It was like, and the other kids would get so angry because they could choose where they wanted to go. We're like, Payway. And so we'd let other kids go, but a group of us would eat literally Chinese.
I think I could eat
night.
Chinese every day, though.
Oh,
could you eat every day, Dane? Oof. What could you eat every day?
Sushi.
Really?
Sushi.
Yeah, I do love sushi.
It's not so heavy.
But that's Asian, though. It's the same similar.
Yeah, it is.
I could eat Chinese food every day.
Do you know in Asia they do, by the way?
They just call
it Asian every day.
Yeah, I don't know. Because some people could eat Mexican every day. I can't. I couldn't do Mexican every day.
No.
I can't. Yeah.
Chips and salsa, maybe?
I might be good. I think I could.
Yeah, I don't know.
Guys, let's try it. I think okay. we get in 2018.
I think today we need to go to Payway, though, right?
This is our last episode, by the way. Have we talked about this is our last episode of the year?
Of the year.
Is it? Yeah. I didn't it's know that we were deciding.
It's the last episode
are we,
of the
are we
year.
Confirmed for that?
I don't know. We can do it next week, maybe. Next week's my birthday.
Next week might be
birthday
Sean
episode.
Has a Christmas birthday.
It's a Christmas miracle. It's not. It happens
which
every
reminds
year.
Me of the bet. The funniest, it's dumb, but it's a cute joke. Kyle Kinane, who actually is a secular comic, not a Christian comic, but he has this joke about the wise men, the gifts, like gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Like frankincense and myrrh, like I get, but like gold, that's that guy, that's a little overshooting. Like when he leaned in, he probably whispered to Jesus, this is for your birthday and Christmas. That's the most adorable you know, Christmas
Tim,
joke ever.
One of my Tim Hawkins' favorite jokes he ever said was the. And we talk about the Christmas songs again. The a child shivers in the cold. Yeah. Let us bring him silver and gold. He's like, hey, how about a blanket? He's like, look, he's shivering. Throw some gold on him. Like,
the kid's going to be loaded.
Oh, man. Johnny, I got to go to Cookeville.
You did a Sunday service. I was just tagging along for fun.
Yeah, my brother-in-law is exciting. He's Greg is going to come on the show next year. We've already been talking. He's starting a new church called Central City Church in Cookeville. That's where my brother lives and my brother-in-law lives, and my dad went to school at Tennessee Tech, and so I have a lot of Cookeville connections. But
Cookeville's a cool town.
It's a great town. I think per capita the restaurants in Cookeville have to be there's a disproportionate number of restaurants to the population.
Well, it's a college town, so that's the thing, too. And we have a lot of colleges. There's always like – they know that these college kids are going to want to eat something.
Because we got done. It was a 9:30 service, which, by the way, Dane, I finished on time.
I couldn't believe it.
Well, how long was your message?
35 minutes.
He had.
Proud of you.
Yeah. I think I went 36.
They went a little over
whittle
their time.
Down to 30.
They
keep whittling down.
Until it's
you'll
five.
Get there.
Yeah. Well, they said we're absolutely out by 10:30. And then they started 5 minutes late. And I had us out at 10:31.
Nice.
So I was
It was.
I bet they loved
remarkable.
You.
It was, and I had 3 points, by the way.
Wow.
Yeah, and I don't even do that anymore.
There
I'm trying to do 3 points.
Alliteration too.
Look, the alliteration was accidental. I don't.
A birth, a brooch, a bag of chips. They all had bees. I can't remember what they were.
It was a baby.
A baby. A body.
A body and
booger.
A bride.
No, a baby, a body, a bride.
Yeah, baby, body, bride. Gotcha. Which it just, and I didn't mean to. Here's the deal. I really.
You didn't mean to.
Guys, I did.
Yeah, you
I did.
Meant to.
I spent so many years doing alliteration that I can't.
My spirit just does what it wants.
I can't stop. No, but it's.
I'm just a channel for these things. I'm a conduit.
It was really cool because they don't have a building yet. They're meeting in a construction company, has this office building, and they had this upstairs room. So it's like a concrete floor, unfinished, a kind of raw ceiling that, it was really good. It was really cool. They probably had about 100 adults in there, and
that was awesome.
Had childcare happening in the office spaces and everything, and they had donuts. Mm-hmm. I didn't have one, but they had donuts.
That's how you start a church, bro.
Totally. Absolutely, donuts and coffee.
Set the tone.
They were great. They were great. The worship leader was really good.
Uh-huh.
And but the people, I mean, the community. Greg's really building it around.
Yeah, it's cool to see something in this at the start. It kind of reminds me of when we started this church. You know, like you guys, and that just there's an energy there that's like. What are we going to be, and what's this going to look like? And
well, when you come to something that doesn't have, it's not. And I think that's it's way more authentic because you're there because you want to be.
Yeah,
you're not there out of tradition. There is no
tradition.
There's
like
you're
exposed,
not there because it's comfortable.
It's like exposed beams and
right.
Yeah, it's not a.
Well, remember when we used to do youth ministry here? We just put drywall up in a room. There was no heating, cooling.
My favorite
hung
thing
light
about,
bulbs.
Yeah.
And
my favorite thing about youth ministry ever
red,
was
yeah,
the
kerosene
big,
heaters. Yeah.
Yes, that would burp. Speaking of burping,
yeah, they would like spit
didn't it
fire.
Burp on a
they
kid
would spit
one day?
Fire.
So we had
didn't
these.
It spit soot on
we
you
had
too?
those kerosene blowers, and yes, every once in a while they put like this big cloud of black smoke would come out. And I kid you not, one night I forget what visitor kid it was, and we hung this Tyvek with a hammer stapler.
Yeah.
So like pop, plastic, pop, put it into the wall, and then you'd open it, let a kid in, and pop it back to keep the heat from getting out. You know?
I remember I came to one of those services,
And they'd walk in on boards across like muddy terrain. Yeah. I don't know how in the world we survived it, but it was awesome. We loved it. We'd hook up
a lot of
instruments and do bands, the whole deal. And this kid sat right in front of that heater because it was freezing that night. And I watched it. It was like this slow mo. And I was like, no. They never came back. I don't know who it was. And it just like this big black cloud of smoke. Yeah, dude, it reminded me of that. Have you ever seen those fart cannons on the Minion movies?
Despicable Me.
It was like that. Like a big cloud of, you know, right over that kid. And they never came back. And that kid today, Johnny.
There's always the stories. That's what I was going to say. Remember the stories? It was always like the, you know, like youth pastors in the 90s and 2000s, mostly 2000s would tell this story. They'd be like, there was a kid one time who used to come to camp and no one befriended him. They made fun of his clothes and they made fun of his piercings.
Oh, yeah. I know. And then
he left the church, and today, and they just insert horror. Usually it was Marilyn Manson. Yeah. Today we know him as Marilyn Manson.
It's like gasps.
And it was like a,
because he like,
oh, no.
yeah.
We did that.
Today we know him as Andy Stanley, actually.
Yeah, what if it was, what if it was a great guy?
It turned out okay. That was a, really led him on to better things.
Absolutely. So. Tease the piercings and they'll take him out.
Dude, I remember that. That was a big deal, the Marilyn Manson thing, for a while.
Yeah,
because at like youth conventions, he had to come out and actually national events. They would play the video, like the documentary of Marilyn Manson to Christians was that he was born, he went to church, nobody liked him, and then he became Marilyn Manson.
Well, and then it was
directly
like our fault. He became
you kids would have said hi and filled out a visitor card. Maybe some. It was like
it was super weird.
If you'd invited him to your small group.
Yeah, maybe he wouldn't have weird man boobs today if you would have reached out beyond your weird sphere. Well, he has the remember the album cover where he had like the weird.
He did some weird surgical.
He had some weird album cover
things to his body, I think. Yeah.
Well, I don't think he literally has
those. Let's not talk about that.
I always heard those stories. I always heard those stories, but like I seriously don't know anything about the
guy. Well, and a lot of those are rumors too. But the one album cover, literally, he had boobs. But whatever.
Weird.
Yeah. He's a strange dude.
Yes.
But
that's
the thing is like, there's people who are strange, and it's clear they're trying hard.
Yeah.
To be strange.
Right.
He's one of those people that's like, he's probably adorable in person. Like, I probably would just be like, okay, dude, this is what you get. I get it.
Right.
I get what you're doing. You put a red contact in one eye because you want to be the devil. I get it.
Yeah.
It's nice showmanship, but come on.
I've seen, like, interviews with him, and he just seems like he seems pretty normal.
That's what I mean. It's like,
as far as, like, his conversation.
Well, that was the thing in the 80s, too. He's just rehashing what in the 80s was the big Satan scare of, like, everything was. If I put a pentagram on the record cover, it'll sell this many million units.
Right.
Like, but really, all they cared about is women. They just wanted to have girls come to their shows.
Anti-establishment for the sake of popularity. Yeah. So it's
maybe they were sacrificing cats.
Dude, if we're doing it today, we should do a conference where we like tell the Marilyn Manson story. They'd be like, "And guys, Marilyn Manson is our worship leader tonight."
That's right, dude. I did a church one time where was I at? Doesn't matter. Battle Creek, Michigan. Anyway, I'm in Battle Creek, Michigan. I'm at this church doing a Sunday, and they said the worship guy was practicing. I was like, man, your worship guy's really good. They said, yeah, he's going to do a couple songs, and you're going to come up, and it's our 10th anniversary of our church or whatever. And so it was like a big let's have fun day. And so I go, this guy sounds familiar. Have I heard his worship records? And he goes, no, he was the lead singer of the Verve Pipe. So like the 90s band that did The Freshman, We Were Merely Freshmen. Know that song?
Yeah.
It was like this huge runaway number one hit. It was like they only had the one big hit though. But that was like a signature song of the 90s. Okay. Crazy hit.
And now he just is a worship leader.
So whatever. That's cool. And he was a really cool guy. Really nice guy.
Sweet.
Would you say the Verve Pipe is a better or worse name than Loyals?
Better. I can think of so many. That's like a running gag with.
I know. I love it. I think it's funny.
We'll hear some weird phrase. We'll be like, still a better name.
Still a better name.
I like Loyals. I remember that I was back then in the old days. I used to manage Loyals before they were Loyals.
You managed Skyhook.
And then I remember you guys, we were in these text threads. Yeah. Like I literally gave y'all like 150 name ideas.
That's true. I remember that. Yeah.
We spent a day. I spent a day.
But names
I just brainstormed all day.
Like when we went in, we were going to have to change our name for the second time.
Oh my gosh.
And we sat with a producer and he was real Southern. His name was
No, say his name.
Why?
Say his name.
His name was Cooter Daniel.
No, we've gone and done it now.
So
you have to tell
we sit down with this guy. First of all.
Oh, here we go.
Man, he had tiny hands. Like I'm talking like
this
doll
had,
hands.
This has had 20 years to build as in the folklore.
He had a thick Southern accent, as you can imagine, but with a little bit of like a like he's like guys, boys,
little feminine, yeah.
Little feminine. And he would we used to make a character. We'd be like, shake my tiny hand, boys. when we signed the thing to make the record with him, he said, let's ride the ride, boys.
Let's ride it. Let's make that gold record.
That's amazing.
So, but one of the things he did when he knew that we needed a name change, he goes, I thought of some ideas. So we're like, oh, okay.
By the way, this story is not embellished at all.
No.
Like, so we said none of it. This is exactly. Like,
oh,
I was
okay,
there.
Cool. Well, we're thinking maybe Scarlet Thread. We don't know. That was what we ended up going with. And he's like, what about this? Ark Eden.
And I was like, oh, Cooter, that's a pretty cool
Ark Eden. What is that?
What does it mean?
What's that about? And he's like, well, you know, like in the Bible, there's the Ark in Eden.
God's honest truth, Dave.
I go, and then John's like having to tell him, like, well, those aren't really connected. Those are different things.
He just put two Bible words.
What was
together.
Your name before Scarlet Thread?
We were called 11th Hour.
11th
and
Hour.
And before that.
Five Smooth Stones.
Ooh,
and before that, Amy Grant. That was already taken. Amy Grant was taken.
Yeah, do you know where Cooter Daniels is today?
He
actually had a claim. Probably, he had a claim to fame.
He did. He had a song. It was like a number one on the.
It was called the country. Farmer. It's called the Farmer's Rap.
The Farmer's Rap.
Yep.
Farmer's Rap.
It hits like some. It was like a morning radio DJ type thing that went hit a gold. Something.
It went zinc. Can you believe it? That thing. That's 10 units.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
No, but Cooter was a character, one of many characters in our life along our journey in music, and took some of our money and didn't live up to what he said he was going to do. And he's not my favorite person. But what we have
all out there.
But what we have,
if Cooter's listening right now.
But what we have is the story.
A single tear.
Sorry, Cooter.
If you're thinking of working with him, I would say to run, do not walk. From him,
he may be great.
Unclench your hand from his.
Why
tiny
do you
grip.
Hate him?
I don't hate him. I think that he's a crook.
Oh,
I think he takes advantage of local artists. And
well, did he? What did he produce for you? What record?
The second record,
the one that you packaged in a DVD case.
No.
No, not that one.
No, and that
why did you do that, by the way?
Okay,
that was a very interesting choice.
No. The record itself was not normally packaged in a DVD case. That was a special.
We made like 10 of those.
Oh, it was special.
That was special for labels and for the
The idea
showcase.
Being that it would stand out on their desk.
Could
if it was
you
next
watch
to a
it?
Stack of, no.
No,
but. You put it in a DVD case.
Well, we put it in an Amaray case.
Because it had, that way we could put more marketing information and stuff on the back. So
the idea would be that, like, if you have a stack of CDs that you're like, you grab this one because it stands.
That's
out
not an uncommon thing. Like,
it's so silly that I still remember that it was in a DVD case.
I have that. Your mom found one the other
day. That's the only Scarlet Thread record that I really.
Oh, you never had it. You never had it in the.
No, I only had the.
No, it had
DVD
a jewel.
Box.
It had a jewel box. It
no,
had
I
a
never
yeah,
saw
that was there was only like 10 of those that we made. And yeah, they went to labels who then went, oh, let's throw this in the trash.
Hey, can I ask you, why don't you put it up on like iTunes and Spotify and stuff?
I don't know. People wouldn't want to hear that. Do you think people would
oh,
hear it?
Dude, I bet that people like from back in the day would for sure want to hear it. I would want to listen to it every
okay.
now and
then. All right.
Well, Dane, will you put that up for us?
Dane.
Toyota Van!
How do you, are you going to make fun of my music now? Is that what you're
yes. No, I really loved it.
Okay, good.
You guys are super good, and Johnny... like probably one of the best guitarists I've ever
no,
yeah, he's really no. talented.
But yeah, I really liked that record.
Go
there
on.
Were like 5-6 songs on there.
It was six.
It was an EP see. For sure. Whatever.
Well, my favorite was Passion.
It was because
it had that cool.
Oh yeah.
Or maybe it was Parade, because they both had cool guitar lines.
Little delay lines.
Yeah. Let me see. You had Parade, yes. King of Eternity, Passion, Simplicity, Toyota Van. That's five.
I liked Parade and I liked Passion.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Every now and then I put, because me and John play worship together a lot. Every now and then when I'm on guitar, I'll play old school Scott.
Yeah, it's awesome.
To like How Great Is Our God or something.
Yeah.
Those were fun times, man.
They were good times. You know, I was thinking of a song the other day that I had. There's a lot of songs I've written that we never played because somebody moved to Nashville that we were in the middle of. That somebody was me.
That would be you.
I broke up the band. But
dude, this happens. The tale's old as time.
What
a jerk. CCM. I took a job at a church. Selfish.
Remember that song called I See Red that I'd written?
Yeah, of course.
Totally forgot about I See Red. I can't find the lyrics anywhere. But I was doing something and the lyric came to me because someone said something. I was like, wait a second.
Wait a second. I wrote a
brilliant
thing.
Did you guys ever have fans that like knew every one of your lyrics?
Yeah.
Yeah.
You did?
Yeah, we had some.
I mean, it was a handful.
Yeah, they were mainly people at UT or whatever who were.
Yeah, who knew.
Because we played it. We played every week at UT. We did worship.
Right.
So, you know, we had relationships with people.
But we didn't ever have the experience of like looking out and seeing an entire crowd of people like mouthing the words and singing along. Unless it was a worship song.
Right.
You're like, look at them. Look at them. They know this one.
Thank you, Chris Tomlin. Yeah, it was. Yeah, it was good. It was good. Good
so
years.
Could you put it on like TuneCore or something?
I think it's on iTunes, is it not?
No.
No, okay.
Did you just look it up?
Spotify?
No, I don't think it's up there. I have it in my TuneCore, iTunes library, but
TuneCore costs money, John.
So there's like a fee.
It's like
yearly.
$30 a year. So we got to know that we're going to make at least $30. Can we get some of our podcast listeners to make
Let's do
a promise?
Why don't we do
that? If we put it up, they're not just going to stream it somewhere and we get like half of a cent for 1,000 listens.
Right.
I mean, I've gone totally blank. What's it called where you run the campaign to raise
GoFundMe?
Money? GoFundMe? Let's do a GoFundMe.
For the $30?
I think it's like $100 annually.
Oh, it's a lot.
Isn't GoFundMe the one where if you don't make the money, then you get anything?
No, that's Kickstarter.
Yes. Oh, okay.
Kickstarter.
Yeah, I don't want to do that one then. No.
So there's a Kickstarter that I made fun of yesterday, and it turns out like social media can't take a joke because people are freaking out. They make these blankets now that are heavy. And it says it's supposed to help.
It's actually a real thing.
I saw your tweet.
So I was just like, yeah, of course, because nothing makes me doze off faster than being trapped under something heavy. And people are like, actually, I got well actually
to
death. I got well actually.
Well, actually, Johnny.
Yeah, you're a moron.
But I will say this. I found an article about that company, and they had to like remove a bunch of the things because they said like treatment of, and they, you can't say that. You can say, this
may
should help with, may
right.
help with.
You can't say treatment unless it's
been
like FDA.
This is treatment of sleeplessness or insomnia or whatever. But I have heard, like, these couple of moms got on there and they were like, my son has autism and he whatever.
It's
and
an
I was
autistic
like, that's not what I was just making a joke about. For me, if I was trapped under a blanket, I wasn't saying, like, this is junk. Yeah.
What I can't
stupid.
Figure out is why you hate people who have problems.
Yeah, let's
issues
talk about this
so
deeper
much.
Issue here.
Yeah.
What about a lighter blanket that makes you feel freed up? Like I would call it like a sheet.
I think they call it a sheet, John. Dang it, you beat me to it.
Speaking of Twitter articles.
Oh, wow. How much time? How much time do we have before you
we
go
We have
here?
A little bit of time.
How much?
To talk about.
We've already done an hour.
We're at 57 minutes.
Oh, geez. We don't have time for this.
We don't have time to talk about aliens.
We'll have to save this for the next
There's
season.
There's always time for aliens.
Why didn't we get into this earlier? We didn't even talk about Star Wars or aliens.
Guys, we have a lot to talk about. Should we stop this one and record next week's episode right now?
Man.
We could go and record the next hour right now.
Why do you hate me and Johnny so bad, John? You want to get out of here?
I don't think we have another hour in us.
Well, you don't want to do a long episode.
I don't want to do an hour, but maybe like 5 minutes of aliens.
We had a very real critique at our wedding this last weekend episodes that have gone. I'm not saying about the episodes that go too long.
Yeah.
So,
well, Emily only listens to podcasts that are like 15, 20 minutes long, which is
an hour is a very respectable podcast.
Yes.
Yeah. An hour and a half even happens occasionally.
She's crazy.
But she's your wife, Dave.
I'm going to need a few more walls.
You do. Padded walls.
You guys choose.
Yeah. So
if we go long, I don't want to be blamed for it.
That's fine.
I don't even blame for it.
We're under attack. It's basically where Dane's going with this, right? Do you think these are aliens, first of all?
I don't think I want to believe that this is an alien thing. I'm not saying it is or isn't. I'm just saying it's
so very the Pentagon released a video.
Yes,
about with the spacecraft. U.S. They did
Department
not recognize.
Of Defense released a video.
This video was from when?
In a state, 2012, I believe.
So they've had this thing. They've been sitting on it. Why did it get released? Right. Why would so they want to? They're not afraid of starting a panic, evidently.
Yeah. So right. Yeah, it was very weird to me, and it's not a big deal for some reason. So okay. So the Department of Defense had this program. I forget what it's called, but it was running
NASA.
For like 5 to 7 years. It was running for like 5 to 7 years, where basically all they did was like look into unidentified flying objects. And just that, not even aliens, not putting that word out. They just like there are things that they can't quite identify.
Yes, there's an organization that the government has. It's called SETI, SETI, the Search for Extraterrestrial Intelligence. So we send out radio signals into space.
Oh.
We have been for years.
Wow.
To see, and it's math. It's usually math because math is the universal language. So we're assuming that they would send back some kind of communication.
What if the aliens are like stupid?
Yeah, what if they're like,
one plus
I
one
failed
equals
algebra.
Four.
So anyway, Department of Safety released this video.
Yeah.
There's a CNN article everybody should go read and watch the video. But it's basically this fighter pilot, and he's got a camera on this thing that looks, they describe it, it looks like a tic-tac, like flying through the air.
Mm-hmm.
But whatever the guy's name was that headed up that department at the time said, the reason this case was like such an interesting one that makes him think, leads him to believe that there is, you know, alien
right.
communication trying to happen or whatever, is this tic-tac thing in the air was doing things aerodynamically that aren't physically possible for like our crafts to do. And like the G-forces that are implied by what that thing was doing, it isn't healthy or even possible for a human
like
to experience.
Like when it darted off the screen, they can do like a how many inches per square mile, whatever. They can do like a scale of that and say he was going 500 miles per hour or whatever, 5,000, whatever. And they can say, we don't do that. We don't make that here.
Right. Which we don't. We don't have anything capable of that.
Yeah.
But it's just super interesting that it's not like a hoax, or at least you know,
they're not
the
even claiming it's a hoax. They're not saying like this is a weather balloon. They always have to say
something.
It's like
the first thing that I've ever seen where like
the
government's
government
involved, and they're confirming it, and CNN has like a friggin' article on it.
Maybe it's like they're saying, "Will this freak them out?" And then they start slowly releasing more things. By the way, President Trump's an alien.
I hope that happens. I want to see more alien videos. But there was a few years ago. I think it was the department that like deals with like toxic waste or like
the EPA?
No, it's not EPA. It's like hazardous materials, like disease control.
Yeah, CDC.
Yeah, CDC.
IRS.
PDQ.
They released some like on like Halloween or something. They released some article saying that there's been a zombie outbreak, and it was just a big funny joke.
Yeah,
but like a lot of people were like, "What?"
Yeah.
Wow.
So I hope that this doesn't turn into that.
Well, it is weird to think, like, I think now we're panicked all the time, and we're just depressed. Like, what's happening now is we know everything all the time, and so there is no panic. Because, like, when we just knew, like, well, this is what the paper said. Aliens, people jumped out windows when Orson Welles read War of the Worlds on the radio because they thought it was real.
That was freaking crazy.
So, because that's the news. Like, the news was so big. Now we know everything all the time.
Mm-hmm.
It takes so much to outrage us.
Oh, yeah. I've seen only like 2 Twitter posts about this.
Like we were thinking about President Carter. I was talking about President Carter for some reason yesterday at lunch with Brian Bates, who's a comedian friend. And he was saying his first memory was his mom taking him at like age whatever because she had to watch him while she went and voted against Carter. She voted for Gerald Ford the year that Carter won. They were talking about him losing the next year or the next election to Reagan because – the economy was bad, and there was this Iranian hostage crisis, and he was seen as weak because he couldn't get these 5 or 6 or how many ever there were Iranian hostages out of our embassy. And I started thinking about like how that would just be a blip on the radar. The fact that we had hostages in a foreign country, it doesn't even make news, really.
Yeah,
we're just like, well, of course they do.
Right,
and like that cost him the election, likely, that he was seen weak on terror because he couldn't solve this crisis.
Yeah.
It's so fascinating. Like, we're so overwhelmed with news that, like, I think this alien thing can sneak into the radar. And it's like, this is like the biggest news ever, possibly.
Mm-hmm. Well, and we don't believe
Yeah.
The new, you can't. You yeah, don't it's really know, hard to believe. You don't that know. One you don't know what to believe anymore. And it's a we're overstimulated by everything in it, and because of that, it's just you're just numb. You're just numb yeah. to it. Like, well, I don't know. And then everybody, even I mean, my gosh, with all the scandals, everybody even who's giving you the news is suddenly untrustworthy. Yeah, and right. and you just it's a I don't know, man. It's a hard moment informationally, but it's a cool story. We could talk about the theological implications.
You don't believe.
But theological implications. Oh, like if God created I don't other know. Planets?
Well, I know God created other planets.
No, I mean God created
Read the Bible,
with,
Johnny.
God created other planets with life on them, though.
Space really freaks me out for that reason. It's so yeah. big. It's just like the ocean freaks me out.
Yeah.
Just the massive...
Yeah. yeah.
Just... There has to be alien life, right? Like, there's so much space. So much.
It would do zero to my theology to
yeah,
find
mine
out.
Too. It'd I mean, be fine.
Why would, you know, God obviously, if God created microscopic life that we're still discovering more and more yeah. every day, why not? I think that whether or not there's intelligent life, I don't know. You know, whether there's intelligent life here, Johnny, I'm not sure about it. Am I right? But
Ark Eden. What if
Kathleen Madigan, who I was talking about earlier, she had a bit about that, about like, what if the reason these aliens never like land and come out is because we're like the Alabama of the universe? Because they're like, oh, don't even stop there for gas.
All right. Well, we should probably wrap up.
No.
On that note,
now I got
sorry
more to
our
talk
listeners
about.
In Alabama.
Are okay. we going to do an episode next week?
Okay.
I think it'd be really difficult.
Yeah,
with Christmas.
That's like a dead week, man. It's hard. I will try though. I'll be around.
See
I'll be around
on Christmas. Dude.
But our listeners, guys.
Yeah, we got to think about. They're home, like with their family, trying to be like, I need some more walls. I need a podcast. Do you know that's the big day when I worked at the movie theater, Christmas Day? Because you have like you open presents, you have dinner,
yeah,
and then you're like, I gotta get out of here.
Yes,
because my uncle just told me yeah. for the fifth time I'm going to hell for my earring or whatever. Yeah. Like you just you're it's too much family, and so they go, let's go sit quietly in the dark yeah. for 2 hours.
It is kind of nice.
So we were so slammed on Christmas Day when I worked in a movie theater. It was amazing.
Yeah,
it was our busiest day of the year.
You liked
yeah.
it?
No.
Yeah,
because oh, I had to work on Christmas Day.
Yeah, I will. You know what? And this is an odd how we. I will say this because I won't be able to say it another week because mm-hmm. Christmas will be gone. I will mm-hmm. say this just to encourage our listeners because it's something we talked about in Cookeville.
Yeah,
just say this. However you feel about anything in life, the one thing that's been cool to me about Christmas this year that I've never thought of till now is that in my house, the day that my wife the day my wife told me she was pregnant, the day that a baby was coming, mm-hmm. like there's no going back. It changed everything, for better or for worse. Like uh-huh. you can't go back. And that really hit me. Like we celebrate this thing, and it's almost like we make this watered down version of Jesus because he's a baby.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like there's this like we said, you know, he doesn't cry or doesn't. And I think at the end of the day, the reason God chose a baby is because there's no going back.
Yeah.
Like he forever became like the bloodline of divinity and humanity was forever mixed, and you can't reverse that now. Like you know, once you have a guys, I have a child at home. I'm going to have to go take care of her. You know, and God said, I'm forever going to now make this connection to humanity that's irreversible. And I just think it's beautiful. I just think it's a beautiful thing that's really what we're celebrating.
Yeah,
so I encourage listeners with that. Like, hey. Whatever confusion you have or questions you have about God, just realize something. God's real true message to you when he sent Jesus is that he there's no going back. There's no going back.
And
that you're loved forever. So anyway, Merry Christmas to everybody.
Yes. That's right. May you drink lots of eggnog and have many presents.
I like eggnog.
It's amazing.
It's flavored mucus and it's awful.
You know what it is? I feel like it's melted vanilla ice cream.
It really does taste like that with a little bit of cinnamon and nutmeg.
Why not just have some ice cream, man?
Well, no. You can't drink that all year long.
It's like a milkshake that you left out and you realize this isn't milk. No. There's no milk. Gross.
Well, you guys have a Merry Christmas, and if we might talk to you next week, we might not, but you guys will. If not, we'll see you in the new year.
Yeah.
I want to talk about that.
Don't shoot your eye out.
No matter what you're going through, you are not alone. Sis, if you've experienced pain in your father-daughter relationship, I want you to know that you are loved and seen. I'm Kia Stevens, host of the Hope for Women with Father Wounds podcast, and I created my show to help you exchange your father wounds for the love of God the Father. Join me for encouragement, wisdom, and scripture. Just search Hope for Women with Father Wounds on lifeaudio.com or wherever you get your podcasts.